Open a limited-time 11-month certificate at Kemba Financial Credit Union. At 5.25% APY, it's more than triple the national average, plus it's a safe and secure way to grow your money. Visit your local branch or kemba.org/cd for details. Offer expires May 31st, 2024. APY equals annual percentage yield. Restrictions apply. $500 minimum and $250,000 maximum deposit. Advantage status required. Comparison based on bank rate average. Federally insured by NCUA.
Good sleep should come naturally, and with the new Natural Hybrid mattress, it can. A collaboration between Lisa and West Elm, the Natural Hybrid is expertly crafted from natural latex, natural wool, and certified safe foams to elevate your sleep sanctuary and support a greener tomorrow. Plus, every purchase helps fuel Lisa's work with shelters and those in need. Don't put off a good night's sleep any longer. Get a Lisa mattress today for a sound sleep tonight. Visit lisa.com/iHeart. That's LEESA.com/iHeart.
Matt Williamson on your 24/7 home of the Black and Gold, SNR Steelers Nation Radio.
Welcome back. I'm Dale Lally here with Matt Williamson. This is our live ongoing coverage here on ESPN 970 and Steelers Nation Radio, live from Steelers training camp practice here at St. Vincent College. And Matt, while we were in break there, the Steelers are running their backed up offense, so inside their own 20. And we saw Anthony McFarland get down the sideline against Robert Spillane, and he was,
it was beautiful.
6-7 yards behind him.
Yep.
Easy pitch and catch for there for Mitch Trubisky to hit.
I think
McFarland.
It was a wheel route, you know, and Spillane had him in man coverage all along.
Good luck with that.
You know, yeah, I mean, Spillane is what he is, and Mitch knows it at this point. And he certainly can't run with McFarland, and McFarland's an advanced route runner now. Yeah, he put it on him, beautifully thrown ball. I mean, that's a touchdown. I mean, unless it's a too-high shell behind him or whatever, that's a touchdown from the own 20. I mean, that's an 80-yard bomb.
Yeah, I mean, that's just a complete mismatch. And that's not the first time we've seen the offense go after Robert Spillane in this practice. That was slightly underthrown there.
Threw into coverage, but he gave his receiver a chance to make a play, though. That was Pickett, you're right.
Absolutely. Seen some good stuff here from the offense, though, today.
It's definitely the best practice I've seen from the offense.
Really?
Yeah. It's been a little while.
Yeah, they had a good one. Tuesday was a really good – I'm trying to think now what day is today. Tuesday here was a really good offensive practice.
The last practice, unfortunately, I saw was last Thursday.
Yeah.
And that Wednesday, Thursday, they were starting to put it together. Because before that was pretty rough.
Yeah, this is starting to look much better.
This looks like an NFL offense.
Yeah, right. They're moving the football. They're completing passes, making plays. So it's looked better. That's what I kind of want to see.
Sure.
That's another nice throw there.
Yeah, it's an 8-yard gain or something.
Rudolph just getting the ball, just
drives it
into the ground, drives it in for an 8-yard gain. Nothing wrong with that.
No, just efficient. That's the word I keep using with Rudolph lately, just efficient.
Yeah.
That's great.
Just understands what's being asked of him and what the
speed of the game and all those type of things.
Yeah,
right.
Get it out, so.
Yep, this is my read. It's open. Give it to him. Boom. Move on. Play next down.
Yep, we'll see what happens here. You're listening to 970.
So you're thinking ESPN. This is the last period of practice?
Yeah, this is it for sure. Yeah, this is going to be it for sure. And then, of course, tomorrow the Steelers have a walkthrough. And then Saturday their preseason opener against the Seattle Seahawks, the flightless birds of Seattle.
Yeah. All right. And a little inside run action.
Nice cut.
Yeah. 93 played that well, but it was a nice cut.
And that was a little jump cut. Yeah. A little jump cut. Get it back inside.
You almost don't
He's
need.
He's got active feet.
Very active feet. Light feet, jump cuts, accelerating, quick little strides, you know, quick pitter pats. People don't think about this much, but like his feet aren't off the ground long. If you take a big high stride or a long stride, there's a good chance when you get hit, you only have 1 foot on the ground, and you're going down. You know what I mean?
Yeah, you're going to get knocked down.
Yeah.
That was Anthony McFarland's problem early in his career.
He did a lot of that, you're right.
Yeah. There he goes, Jaylen Warren again.
He just puts his head down and keeps those feet churning and
drives forward.
Yeah. But he's more than that, too.
Yeah.
I
really like him.
Yeah, he's pretty good.
Really like him. You know who else would like him? The 49ers. A one-cut runner like that.
No nonsense.
Gets it for. He would be really good in that offense.
He would. And there's a lot of zone principles.
It does,
here, too.
It does show you that. I mean, I understand that you can find running backs anywhere.
Sure.
I understand that. That when people are talking about
don't draft a first-round running back. I get it.
Right, right. Tackles are harder to find than running backs. We all know that.
That all sounds great in theory until you don't have one.
Right. Or you have a really good one. And,
yeah.
You know, and you lean on them. And
well, that's a nice throw.
That was well done.
Was that, that was Pickett. Yeah, nice throw by Kenny Pickett there over the middle.
Nice snag there by 21, too, away from his body without, you know, having to shift gears down too much.
But he fit that one into,
that was very
into
nice
a tight throw. Window
right.
with some zip on it. And that's going to be the final play of practice.
Like, I'm not picking on Ben, but that ball doesn't get completed last year.
I mean, over again, the middle, into like the middle of the field.
Right,
like
middle of the field.
20 yards downfield.
Yeah, exactly.
That's good, solid pass.
Into the teeth of the defense. I mean, that's – you have to attack there if you're an NFL offense.
Absolutely. Absolutely. So that's,
good practice.
That's going to be it for practice today. Steelers finishing up here. So at 4:06 p.m., let it be said, they had their last practice before their first preseason game.
There you have
Tomorrow's
it.
Tomorrow's a
walk. I thought it was a very good
practice. I thought it was, too. Yeah. Really kind of crisp and the way you want
especially for the offense.
Yeah. You know, defense missing some guys out there. And they made some plays, too. But
Right. But a lot of these offenses, especially in 7-on-7s, or these practices, 7-on-7s, individuals, you want the offense to win, you know, and they're starting to more and more. And, they're again, it looks more like an NFL offense to me.
Yeah, absolutely. So kind of surprised Mike Tomlin went full live like that today.
Yeah,
but
yeah.
You know, they did miss a live practice on Friday.
Mm-hmm.
You know, and
they've been a little short.
Yeah,
and
so they've been
around,
so I'm sure he wanted to see some of that
stuff in gyms.
Yeah,
and,
as I mentioned, yesterday's practice wasn't the most crisp because they weren't in pads, and so
I think he came back with that in mind.
Yeah,
yeah.
Hey,
and he got what he wanted.
Yeah, you guys are gonna get. We'll take it easy on you tomorrow. You know, Saturday you got all day Saturday to kind of rest up before you play the game Saturday night. So.
Mm-hmm. And some of these guys won't play or hardly play at all in that game, too, you know.
Yeah, that's the other point, you know. So
and then Sunday they don't do anything, right?
Yeah, Sunday you're off, so it's not bad. And
no.
You know, you probably won't see a lot of the physical practices. They've only got 3 days left out here, 4 days left out here, you know, after today.
Yeah, so what, we'll be back Monday here.
Correct.
Tuesday, Wednesday, and that's it.
Thursday's their practice.
Okay, yeah, so we'll be here. We'll have four more shows from here after today.
I believe that is the case.
Yeah, we'll double check, but yeah, something like that.
Yeah.
Not that we're going to go away after that.
These days all run the
I know.
Once we get back to the south side, we'll be going still every day.
Mm-hmm.
We just won't be simulcast on ESPN 970 anymore
right,
as we are
right
now. And we won't be able to bring you live coverage.
Winter. Right, right.
Because the rules will then change because there won't be fans in the stands.
They don't want us telling the whole world how they're preparing for their games at that point either.
At that point, yeah. That's when things kind of change a little bit. So
yeah.
Yeah. And as we have seen
over
the course of this whole thing, even though practice has ended, a lot of guys going to do some extra work.
Oh, yeah. I don't think a lot of these guys are done. I mean, we're seeing push-ups and things like that. I'm sure there were some bets lost. And then we'll see. I mean, usually some of these guys do go hit the jugs machine or they do different individual little things afterwards.
Go hit the sled.
Yeah,
things of that nature. I talked to Jay Sternberger yesterday after practice. I had to wait for him. 20 minutes after practice, he's over there hitting the sled. Because that's a deficiency in his game. You know?
Right.
You know, you gotta
be do good more.
You gotta be able to be good at that. And so, yeah, seeing a lot of guys here, see a few guys kind of going off. They're probably guys who are nursing some stuff or you know putting, but a lot of guys out here still honing their skills and getting the work in.
This is that couple minutes after practice where. They do a little chatting and then they start to go do their own thing sometimes too. So, you know, and it's also the fans are all over these guys too. You know,
yeah,
which is great.
Absolutely, and this is again, these days are winding down too for the fans to be out here.
Right, they don't have a ton of opportunities.
Right, but so get these in. That's a nice crowd today.
Real nice crowd. A real good energy amongst the whole place and the team. Coaches, sidelines, everything. I mean, this is a great way to cap it off before, you know, your first real live action. So I think this was a huge success. And if you were to ask Coach Tomlin, which I'm sure some of you guys will, I bet he feels the same way. And maybe he won't express it of, oh, it was great, you know, but yeah. I mean, deep down like that's what we wanted to get done today.
Absolutely. And especially after yesterday's practice where things were a little disjointed at times and things of that nature. Get out here, get a good practice in before you go and break things up here for the first preseason game. Now go beat up on somebody else. And these guys are ready to do that. They're ready to get out of here and go hit somebody else.
Yeah, I mean, it's great to assert yourself on your teammates and make a splash here. I get all that stuff, but it's your team. You don't want to hit each other over and over and over. I mean, I think that there's more to be said here for, you know, going out and beating the opponent up, and that's exactly what they're looking for.
Absolutely. Matt, anybody else that you're looking forward to seeing here in this game on Saturday?
It's a great question. I mean, there's a couple Seahawks I'm kind of interested in. You know, just
this is Steelers Nation Radio. So
tonight I'm going to watch some.
I'm excited to see. You're a football junkie. Like
I know.
I am.
I'm going to watch two preseason games tonight and keep an eye on the rookies and the new guys and sit in my lazy boy and take a note or two and maybe have a little toddy and enjoy myself. I'm looking forward to that from tonight until Labor Day weekend, basically. Yeah. There's tons
of that. I'm kind of interested in seeing what DeMarvin Leal looks like.
That's a great one.
Yeah.
Yeah.
You know, can he be –
where do they line him up?
Yeah. Where's he lining up
at?
You know, how much does he play? Does he win, you know, in some of these situations in third downs? You know, can they use him in a third down package? Mm-hmm. You know, how does that work for him?
See, I think that's a good chance. It's an easy acclimation process. Can he be lined up next to Cam on third and eight? That doesn't mean he's better than Ogunjobi at it, though.
Right. That's the problem.
I mean, you could use more than one, but is he the best at that role? Or, you know, could he be a four-man front end with his hand on the ground at times? I think so, you know. And I'm interested. That's a great one to pick up.
Look at some of the linemen over here working on their dip and rip here.
Yeah.
Getting under.
They're the big guys, too. They're not
Isaiah Loudermilk over there trying to – he wants him back. Okay, let's see what Isaiah Loudermilk looks like coming here. A little bend.
Big, strong hands.
Yeah, yeah. I want to see him. You know, that's
he's another
guy.
One he should play a fair amount.
Yeah, the coaches have talked him up, and there goes –
Do you think Ogunjobi plays much?
I don't think Ogunjobi plays at all.
Yeah, okay.
I don't need to see that.
No, I think they're pretty comfortable with where he is.
Here goes T.J. Watt. Oh, this is just different. Like,
He gets low.
There's a coach there's, you know, doing this, and, you know, he's...
TJ's shoulders are at the shorter coach's...
butt.
Yeah. Yeah, I was going to say waist, but it's... But he's still kind of standing up, too. It's not like he's leaned over so much and his head's down. It's just a knee bend thing.
Yeah. I mean, he's just...
It's hard to block
so
that man
flexible.
Without losing, you know, power or speed.
It's amazing to me, like... When you see him do this stuff now, there goes Leal right there.
Mm-hmm.
When you see him do some of this stuff now, a nice spin move by him.
Yeah, working on different things.
People question him coming out in the draft. Like, is he really deserved to be a first-round draft pick?
Yeah.
He's just getting drafted like that because his brother's
big brother.
Big brother's J.J. Watt.
Oh, he didn't have a huge body of work at Wisconsin. I mean,
I get it. But
it was a good body of work.
Yeah.
I mean, and his combine numbers were awesome.
Yeah.
Yeah, I mean, he's a hustle guy. What? He can bend and he can explode and he's got burst. I mean, he's a great athlete.
Yeah. Just for sake
pull
here,
him up. I think people will be like, oh, wow. You know, I think almost everyone will be shocked how good his combine numbers really were.
Because, his combine results, 4.69 in the 40 for a guy who's 250-plus pounds.
What did you say it was?
4.69.
Okay.
Not super fast.
Not
but
crazy.
Fast
right.
enough. His 40-yard time, though, 17.44 miles per hour. 20-yard split was 2.71 seconds.
Mm-hmm. He's always had a good get-off.
The 10-yard split's 1.59.
Yeah, that's really good.
That's pretty good, yeah. 29 on the Wunderlich.
Yeah, okay.
Okay.
Yeah, that
vertical,
translates.
37 inches.
I'd say his jumps were really good for a heavy
The broad game. Jump is 12.8, so
that's
explosive,
very good.
Yeah.
Very, very good.
The 20-yard shuttle, 4.78.
Fantastic,
yeah. The three-cone was 6.79.
Really, really. Under 7's great.
Under 7's great. Under 5 on that 20-yard shuttle is good. Yeah, so really
they're,
good.
They're not much Big Brother had an unbelievable combine.
Like
a historic combine because he was 285 or 290. But his numbers are pretty similar to TJ's, who was smaller than that at the time. He's had a really good edge rush here, rep, where he was unbelievably quicker on the edge.
Here's the thing. This won't surprise you, Matt. Hand size.
Huge.
11 inches.
Wow, 11's big. Yeah. Yeah, that does not surprise me.
And the arm length's 33.13 inches.
Say, I bet they're over 32, 33 inches.
Yeah, so he's got, all the freakish stuff there that you want to see. Anyways, he only did 21 reps on the bench press. Well, you got long arms.
That's not bad.
Yeah.
Right, right.
So there was a lot there that you look at and go, okay, this makes a lot of sense.
Mm-hmm.
Actually, got his percentiles here. His hand size is 100%.
Is it?
Yeah.
Biggest one
big
there, probably.
Mitts.
Yeah, yeah.
You know, and he uses those things.
Well.
Yeah, he uses those things well.
Big open hand slaps, you know, getting a lot of his hand.
Yeah.
I almost think of it like tires on a road. You know, like the more tire you can get on a road, the more control you have. Yeah. You know, those big hands are like
so
that.
Here's his percentages by size by for the position. The height was 95th percentile.
Mm-hmm.
The weight, 92nd percentile. The hand size, 100th percentile. Arm length, 81st percentile. The 40 was 40th percentile.
Yeah, that's not surprising.
Because you're also measured at linebackers against some of those inside guys who are running 4-4s.
Good point. If he's with the, quote, linebackers, he's a lot bigger than a lot of the, you know, Devin White's.
Yeah. The 20-yard split was 50.9. The 10-yard split for that position, 83.6.
Really?
The explosion is there. That's where the explosion shows up.
That's bench something press, they covet from the edge guys.
Yeah. Bench press was 57th percentile. The vertical jump, 82nd percentile. The broad jump, 92nd percentile.
Yeah, that adds up.
The three cone was 94th percentile. Mm-hmm.
Three cone for edge guys is a real good indicator.
Yeah. Yep. I mean, he's just
change of direction, dipping and ripping, you know.
Yeah. And yet you look at his combine spark grade, and it's 59, which was a C.
Hmm. I guess his 40 didn't blow people away. But you ask him, too, how much did he practice his start?
Yeah.
I mean, 40s are fine, but I know it wasn't long ago, but people stress them more now or practice them better than they used to. And I'm not making excuses for him. I mean, I don't know that he's one of the fastest edge guys in a 40-yard stretch in the league either.
Right.
I mean, you don't see him run that.
But when the ball is snapped, he's pretty fast.
Pretty fast to get to the quarterback, pretty fast to get to the running back.
That's where that 10-yard split shows up.
Yeah.
Because that's how far he is from the quarterback, about 10 yards.
Exactly. I mean, does he make many plays 40 yards downfield that others don't? No, but I couldn't care less.
Yeah. No, he's just a good football player.
A lot of kids on the field today, like little kids.
Yeah, yeah.
Toddler day with the team.
Yeah, you get to see the players out here with the little ones. That's always fun.
Mm-hmm.
They get to be dad.
The kids are loving it, too.
Talked to a James Daniels today, and he was talking about this. Like, look, we're out here. Somebody asked me, you know, is the camaraderie with the offensive line better than it was? He's like, we're out here together. We eat lunch together. We eat breakfast together. We're putting in 13-hour days.
Yeah.
We don't get to go see our families. We're just hanging out together. Yeah,
absolutely.
Absolutely, it's better than it was. Like,
I mean, how could it not be, right?
Yeah, you're just hanging out with these dudes all the time. Like, you better get to know them a little bit better.
Yeah, yeah. and that's one of the reasons you're here, and there's a lot of use in that. And you know, I would go ask Wolf or anyone who's been on a team like that for an entire season, good, bad, ugly, at some point or many points – that bond and that what you're growing here comes to fruition. You know, I mean, it becomes a factor.
And I think that's why you want to do this. That's why Mike Tomlin wants to be out here.
Right.
You know, again, he's got a captive audience out here. These guys have to hang out together. You're not going home to your family.
Right.
And all the problems, you know, or just the everyday issues that come up in life.
Like, I adore it here. St. Vincent's is awesome, and they're very hospitable. Hospitable.
Like, there you
well
go.
Done. But they don't have an indoor.
Right.
You know, like, there's some logistics that would be nice for when it pours. They can, you know, just walk in the indoor. But then you lose everything we talked about. You know what I mean?
Right.
You know, so I think the former outweighs the latter. And
open a limited-time 11-month certificate at Kemba Financial Credit Union. At 5.25% APY, it's more than triple the national average, plus it's a safe and secure way to grow your money. Visit your local branch or kemba.org/cd for details. Offer expires May 31st, 2024. APY equals annual percentage yield. Restrictions apply. $500 minimum and $250,000 maximum deposit. Advantage status required. Comparison based on bank rate average. Federally insured by NCUA.
That's why you keep coming back here, not just for nostalgia, because it makes you a better team, and there's you know, there's fruit that you get from coming here.
Yeah, absolutely. We're going to take another break. He is Matt Williamson. I am Dale Lally. You're listening to The Drive here on Steelers Nation Radio and ESPN 970, our live ongoing coverage here from St. Vincent College in beautiful Latrobe, Pennsylvania. It is a beautiful day today.
It is.
And the Steelers just wrapping up practice. When we come back, we'll hear Mike Tomlin's press conference from earlier today, giving you the rundown on everything. We've kind of talked a little bit about some of the stuff, but we'll let you hear it right from the head coach of the Pittsburgh Steelers. We'll hear that when we come back right after this.
This is The Drive with Dale Lally and Matt Williamson on your 24-7 home of the black and gold. SNR. Steelers Nation Radio.
Welcome back. I'm Dale Lally here with Matt Williamson. We are live from Steelers training camp here at St. Vincent College. The Steelers just wrapping up their practice here. This is actually practice number 14.
Was it 14?
Day 14 of training camp, but we've been out here a long time.
Yeah, they kind of run together.
Yeah, they do. It's a lot of Groundhog Day here, but we're glad to be back at Chuck Noll Field today.
Still a lot of action on the field.
Absolutely. Some action in the press conference room earlier today as Mike Tomlin addressed the media regarding, Saturday's preseason opener at Acrisure Stadium against the Seattle Seahawks at 7 o'clock on Saturday, going over kind of the quarterback depth chart and things of that nature. Let's hear what Mike Tomlin had to say earlier today.
Good afternoon. Man, it is exciting to kind of be at this point of development. It's time to get this group in the stadium and compete against some unfamiliar guys, to be in game-like circumstances and have to deal with some of the transitional things associated with play. In practice, it's game-like. Drills are coordinated and organized and so just to see their ability to move and function fluidly in the midst of actual play is a significant step. No question the performances under those circumstances are weighted more heavily than they are in these circumstances. And so we're really excited about that. We have a template or a framework in which we'd like to attack this in terms of participation in divisional labor. We got every intention of maybe the first group playing a quarter. The second group's playing second and third quarter, and then the third group playing the fourth quarter. There'll be some bleeding, if you will, of the guys. If there's a first-teamer that lacks experience, he may play into the second quarter. If there's a third-teamer who's on the come with some upside, he might get in the game in the third quarter, things of that nature. It's not going to be hard lines. We're going to do what we feel is appropriate. Our goal is to come out of this game giving everybody an opportunity to show what they're capable of and gain a better understanding of their play under real football-like circumstances. And so that's exciting. We got every intentions of playing the three quarterbacks. How much is to be determined. A lot of some of the hard and fast things that you guys might, be interested in as I sit here today, I'm just not going to have the answers for. We're highly conscious that we got to practice this afternoon. And every time you snap that ball this afternoon, it could change plans. And so we have a template, and we'll finalize some of those things this evening after we get off this practice field today. Today's a big day. I'd be doing today a disservice if I started looking too much ahead. We got a Steelers versus Steelers padded practice today, and that's significant. But guys will have an opportunity to show what they're capable of. I'm excited. The return men. We got a lot of people to look at there, the specialists, got a lot of people to look at there. Game-like circumstances is going to be big for all of those type parties as well. So I'll pause and open it up for questions.
So, Mike, will Mitch start?
Yes. Yeah. Yes.
And then will you go? And then the other two, you don't know the order of those guys?
It's probably the way it's played out here to this point. Like I mentioned to you guys, I wasn't going to be blowing in the wind regarding the quarterback rotation. We've been thoughtful about giving guys an opportunity to work in different groups. But our intentions are to play them this first time out very much the way we started this process.
How do you measure success in this preseason game for the three quarterbacks?
Moving the unit, taking care of the football.
Will the first-team offensive line maybe go a little longer, or are you just going to keep them all?
Again, I'll make those determinations after we get off the field today, but I'm not really thinking about anyone as a particular unit. I'm thinking about men within the unit. If there's a guy that needs additional reps within that unit, I'm open to giving it to him. If I feel like an individual does not, I won't. Every rep is precious, and we got a lot of people. We got 90 guys to sort through, and so you better look at it from an individual basis as opposed to small collectors within the group.
Mike, do you weigh at all who the guys are playing against? Do you look at the opponent? Is it a first, second, or third team guy?
I got no control over who or how much Pete plays his guys, so I'm less concerned about that, to be honest with you.
Coach, you had mentioned that there were a lot of players that you were looking at for the return game. I mean, for the return specialist. Was there any person in particular that would take advantage of that opportunity this early in preseason?
All of them are viable. We mean what we say when we say we don't care about what means guys get here. They'll be given an opportunity to show what they're capable of. And so return space is, is a space that history tells me that I'm always open to potentially being surprised. And so I'm excited about it.
Mitch has been atop the quarterback depth chart since OTAs. What have Mason and Kenny really showed you that they can possibly earn some more first-team reps?
You know, they're doing what we're asking them to do. They're taking care of the ball. They're moving their units. They're doing the unofficial things that come with quarterback position in terms of leadership. They're doing a nice job. And again, I'll be quite honest with you guys. I only provide depth charts because I have to. You know, that's what this process is about. And I think you do this process a disservice oftentimes when you read too much in the depth charts at this juncture, particularly when we haven't even been in the stadium yet.
Mike, Jerry O said the other day he's looking for somebody to distinguish himself as a leader in the inside linebacker. He's hoping that happens against Seattle. Do you agree, and how do you define leadership in that role?
I'm not worried about leadership at that position. We got enough candidates, and the play will reveal it. Much like quarterback, inside linebacker, there's certain unofficial responsibilities that come with that job, and all of those guys have been playing that position, know and understand that, and are displaying that.
Mike, you've had a chance to look at some guys with Najee out. How do you feel about the depth that you're with your running backs?
I like it. I like what they've displayed out here. I'm really interested in watching them in stadium, and obviously ball security is a component of that position that is non-negotiable. And so you get those guys in the stadium and you get a chance to see their second effort and the things that you do in game-like circumstance. They need to do those things while, you know, safeguarding the football.
Anybody ruled out yet, Mike?
Not at this point. I'm always going to have an inclusive mentality. Obviously, if somebody has missed a significant amount of practice time, I probably won't play them because I'm setting them up for failure. But at this point, all of those that are working and working in some capacity, I'm having an inclusive mentality.
What about your new waiver pickup? What do you know about him, and would he be able to be ready to go?
I just walked off the field with him and got to meet him a little bit. I remember when he came out in the draft, he was a guy that had our attention. He's an outside linebacker body type. I think he had 14 sacks his junior year at Oregon State, and that captured our attention. But it's a get-to-know process, and we'll be excited about giving him an opportunity to show himself to us. He's a guy that's not a rookie. He's been in this thing, so I'm hopeful that he can learn fast enough to be a contributor in some form or fashion Saturday.
About Kenny Pickett, what can you learn about seeing him face a live NFL defense that you haven't done throughout the process?
A lot. I mean, this guy hadn't been in a live pocket yet. None of the quarterbacks have. And that component of it is significant in terms of their play, their ability to operate and make decisions in a timely manner, their ability to absorb the punishment that comes with the game and the position. There's so much involved in live quarterback play, their ability to protect the football. And so it's a big opportunity for him and others.
Mike, you guys last year struggled at times against the run. Do you feel like your front seven this year, you've addressed that, and obviously you don't see a ton of padded practice anymore because of the rules, but you see them enough. Do you feel good about that?
Yeah, I'm not worried about what transpired last year. I feel good about the collection that we have and what they've shown thus far in that area, certainly. I expect us to be dominant.
Anyone else?
Mike, where did you come up with the idea about the way you feed the guys, the offense versus defense? How did that come about?
I don't know what you're talking about.
It's a nice, have you done like little incentive things like that before just to kind of juice it up?
I just think in this setting it's important that we're innovative and open-minded regarding creating a competitive environment.
You came up with that on your own or you borrowed it from someone?
Again, I don't know what you're talking about.
Anyone else?
That was Mike Tomlin earlier today with the assembled media talking about, the upcoming game against the Seattle Seahawks Saturday night at Acrisure Stadium. Mm-hmm. And some other things there. Of course, quarterbacks dominating the discussion as they are wont to do.
As you would expect.
Yeah.
Sure.
You're listening here to 970 ESPN 970 and Steelers Nation Radio. This is The Drive. I'm Dale Lally. He's Matt Williamson. Again, a lot of talk about the quarterbacks and what he wants to see. And Mike Tomlin says, hey, look, we're going to open this first game the way we've done the entire offseason. That means Kenny Pickett is going to be third.
Mm-hmm.
Mason Rudolph will be second.
The way it should
be. And Mitch Trubisky is going to be first.
Yeah.
And, you know, he says, but don't read too much into depth charts at this time of the season. The only reason I do a depth chart is because I have to put one out.
Because I have to, right? Right.
The league mandates that.
Yeah. And behind the scenes, they have their own, I'm sure. But I think it's more of a vaguer, you know, this is my plan for him.
It's a thing.
Not like he's moved from two to three.
Yeah, it's a moving,
yeah,
you know, it's a constantly evolving
edges,
thing. Yeah.
You know, it's not, oh, he just moved from three to two. It's official. You know, lock it up. You know,
you see a lot of that in these kind of training camp settings where, okay, this day, this guy works with the twos because they want to see if he can handle it.
Yeah, and being a coach, especially on a team like this, is very fluid. You know, like things change all the time.
And there's guys in and out of the lineup.
Exactly. You need to learn to, you know, you're counting on, oh, we'll be healthy for this week 13 game, and then three guys get hurt week 12. You know, like it's just the way the league works. You have to always be on your toes. You always have to have backup plans. You always have to know, you know, can these guys handle work with the group above them, even though I think he's a three? How does he handle his time with the twos? You know, in a game situation, practice, mentally, all those things. Otherwise, you're ill-prepared.
Absolutely. So, Mike Tomlin getting his team prepared today for the final – well, they got a walkthrough tomorrow, but really the final live practice today. Before they get into a stadium on Saturday against the Seattle Seahawks. And these games mean – the games mean more than practices.
Oh, yeah. I mean, I always wonder, and I'm sure every coach is different, how much you weigh – your coaching time talking in the film room or in the position room versus the field versus maybe only 20 plays on Saturday. Yeah. You know, I mean, per snap, definitely it means more in a game. You know, there's a lot of gamers out there. There's practice players out there, and that stuff's real. But it's hard to put all those pieces of the puzzle together and get the right answer of, did he just have a bad day against Seattle because he was great in practice and did everything I wanted, or when the lights come on, can I not count on them? You know,
yeah, it's a hard that's kind thing of a big
do.
Deal.
It's a big deal.
Big deal. So that's what we're looking forward to seeing on Saturday. That was Mike Tomlin's press conference from earlier today. We're going to take a break.
Kenny Pickett over to the aggressive autograph
seekers.
I would say there's
quite a few young ones over there trying to get those autographs, and good for them.
Yeah, ambitious.
Very ambitious. We're going to take a break. He is Matt Williamson. I am Dale Lally. You're listening to The Drive here on Steelers Nation Radio and ESPN 970. We're live from St. Vincent College here in beautiful Latrobe, Pennsylvania.
Turned into a great day.
Yeah. Steelers finished up practice about a half an hour ago. We get another 20 minutes of the show here. We'll take you up to 5 o'clock here on the show. So we'll be back with more right after this.
This is The Drive with Dale Lally and Matt Williamson on your 24-7 home of the black and gold. SNR. Steelers Nation Radio.
Welcome back. I'm Dale Lally here with Matt Williamson. We are live from Steelers training camp here at St. Vincent College in beautiful Latrobe, Pennsylvania. The Steelers just wrapping up their practice here about a half an hour ago, and still some players out on the field getting some work in here, Matt.
A lot of family, a lot of kids, fans still roaring along, you know?
Yeah, just going through some of the stuff going on around the league here. A
couple little nuggets out there.
Yeah, Kirk Cousins sent home from the Vikings practice, missed a walkthrough, has an illness.
Oh, really?
And if you remember, he was not vaccinated last year.
Oh, yeah. I wouldn't have dawned on me, but okay. I mean, that's... Yeah. A big deal. I mean, that was a big deal with Carson Wentz. And, you know, hey, everyone has their own freedoms on this thing, but it hurts your job a little bit. Too,
some of the rules have changed on that now.
Good point.
Yeah, I think it's a 5-day waiting period now as opposed to the 2 weeks that you were out
right,
before.
Right.
Bears head coach Matt Eberflus did not sound happy with Roquan Smith. Roquan Smith has been cleared from the physically unable to perform list and is healthy enough to practice, but he continues to sit out as he seeks a trade from the team wants a contract extension. And, this is a situation that, you know, Matt Eberflus has never had to deal with before.
He's new there, right?
First-time head coach, and all of a sudden now your star inside linebacker has decided he doesn't want to be there anymore. He wants a new contract. He said, Roquan Smith came off the pup. He was cleared by our medical staff as healthy, and he did not practice. And the reason why for that is, well, you'll have to ask him. We expect all of our healthy players to practice, and that was his decision. And like I said, you'll have to ask him. I have not talked to him about it, so I have no further comment on the situation.
So The Bears have a lot of issues. I mean, this is a massive rebuild for them. They have the most cap space of anyone in the league after this. So they kind of have to weather the storm from 1 year before they can – two steps back before you can take one step forward. But I think if you're Eberflus and this staff, you looked at Roquan and thought, that's my Darius Leonard.
Yeah.
You know, that's my foundational piece of the defense.
That's my defensive leader.
That's my the guy we want to pay, we want to extend, we want to build around. He fits perfectly. And that's – you can see both sides. You know, like Roquan wants more money, and maybe he, this is a – of course, as we often see, this is a –
he's got 1 year left on his current deal. They picked up his fifth-year option.
Yeah. You know, players don't have a lot of cards in their hands to get new deals without sitting out. But he also probably looks at it like Minka did in Miami, saying, this isn't real fun losing.
Yeah.
Not on purpose, but this rebuild year, and I'm not young anymore. Let me go anywhere else. And I see both sides.
Yeah, absolutely. And it kind of goes to show you the difference in how Mike Tomlin handled those situations, how some other coaches have handled those situations in a first-time head coach going through this for the first time. Like, this is unacceptable. Yeah, this
differently,
is,
and, you know, right.
He's got to be out here practicing. They talked about, well, you're going to find him. That's up to the front office. Like, that's a possibility. You could find the guy.
You could.
But what does that do? Does that then poison the well on any future negotiations?
I mean, it's obviously different than Baker and Deshaun Watson and all that. But if you burn the bridge with your current player, bridge is burnt. You know, like you don't come back to them and be like, well, let's be friends now. I mean, like, that rarely happens.
But, Coach,
you
fined me $30,000 over the last
Right. And then the Bears all of a sudden are in a position where, well, maybe we get a pick for Roquan. And they would. They'd get substantial return for him. He's a very good player. But now we open a new need. And where do we – just when we thought we had three blocks of the foundation built to build this house on, now we got one. Or, you know, it's like, it's hard to dig out of the doldrums.
News out of Cleveland. Mary Kay Cabot of Cleveland.com reports that the Browns will consider trading for 49ers quarterback Jimmy Garoppolo if the ruling by Peter Harvey results in a significantly longer suspension for Deshaun Watson. That's not earth-shattering news, Aaron.
No, I was actually kind of his only landing spot at this point, too.
Do you think? I mean, Seattle's—they're not going
to
trade
him.
They'd have to cut him
as a trade,
unless Seattle came back to him and said, "Look, we'll give you a 3," and Cleveland's offering a 5 or something like that.
If they beat the offer,
maybe. And it's significantly better. You say, "Okay, we'll give you Jimmy Garoppolo."
Maybe
it's not doesn't, you know.
He's not Brett Favre or Troy Aikman.
You're not trading Tom Brady in his prime to a guy in your team in your division.
I think he ends up in Cleveland, and I've thought this for a while. We've talked this to no end, but assuming Watson gets a big bump up, in suspension, it's kind of your only option if you're the Browns, unless you want to just punt for the season, and I don't think they're in a great spot to do that. So more ramifications of a highly risky decision at the quarterback position, which, hey, it could pay off. 3 years from now, they might be the best team in the league, and he's winning MVPs. He's a very good football player. But right now, it's a mess.
The problem is they don't have a first-round draft pick next year.
Right.
They don't have a third-round draft pick next year.
Okay. They might not have a second the following year either.
Yeah, they do have a second next year. They don't have the Vikings own their fourth-round pick. They have one of their fourth-round picks. They have one fourth-round pick. They traded another one to the Vikings.
I don't remember that.
They have two picks in the fifth round, one in the sixth, one in the seventh next year.
Mm-hmm. And cap is an issue, and they don't
Do you
have a lot
really
of
want to give away another draft pick to go get Jimmy Garoppolo?
Like, I mean, I'm guessing it's a 5, something like that.
But let's say the 49ers just say, hey, we've got Jimmy under our salary cap right now. We don't have to trade him.
He's not even a practice, though, or he's not
involved.
Well,
that's
the
other part of part of the equation right now is that
they've made it clear
they can afford to wait. Though they've got 10 weeks.
Well, that's why
they're not planning on playing him.
No.
You know, so
but the last resort is they cut him. I mean, I think if they get a fifth one,
you can hold on because you've got him under the cap. Let's say you hold on to him, and in week two somebody loses a starter.
Well, that's what
they're hoping
for.
Well, now all of a sudden,
or tonight somebody loses a starter.
Yeah, now somebody gives you instead of that fifth round pick. Oh, we'll give you a third for Jimmy.
Mm-hmm.
You know, something like that.
You just brought up Kirk Cousins. I mean, he left the team because of illness.
Yeah.
But
If Minnesota lost Kirk Cousins,
that's
they're
the call.
Calling the 49ers.
Yeah. Or if somebody gets hurt tonight, tomorrow, the next day.
Yeah.
You know, right. And I think of Minnesota because it's exactly what happened with Bridgewater. He had this horrific knee injury in camp, and it just so happens the Eagles traded up for Wentz that year. But they had Bradford under contract, similar,
yeah.
And they got a first-round pick out of Bradford.
Right,
you know,
because they were there was a desperation factor.
The only guy out there, right.
So if you're San Francisco right now, you're waiting. You don't have to you get a month before you play a game.
Mm-hmm.
So you're going
to
wait.
And you're not using that cap space to go sign anyone right now
right.
anyway.
Yeah.
Right.
Yeah,
it's not like free agency's about to hit and we're going to sign a guard and a center. And you know.
Yeah, because Trey Lance is cheap. So you can afford to sit and wait till the last
mm-hmm.
minute on that.
Mm-hmm. That's why they've waited this long.
If you're the Browns, you wanted to get something like this done yesterday or immediately when you find out about Deshaun. You don't want to wait.
No. If it's only six games, I don't think you make any moves.
Yeah.
If it's 12 or more, I think you almost have to. But when's Jimmy going to be ready? You know?
And that's the thing. And so if you're the 49ers, you're like, okay, you're offering us a fifth right now. We're not interested in that right now. We're not going to move.
I might call you back in a week.
Yeah, we'll wait a week.
Another week of practice kicks off the clock.
Doesn't do the Browns any good.
And maybe another team arises in the deal. Right. No, the Niners have handled this well because their hand wasn't easy because of Jimmy's injury.
But patience.
I mean, if it wasn't for the injury, he'd be on another team long ago. Maybe he was a commander, you know, before even the Wentz trade. You know?
But they're playing the long game here.
Yeah, and they're waiting it out. And they probably could have used that cap space back when if they would have made a deal. But he wasn't healthy, you know, so you weren't going to get anything for him. And they understand he has value. Like, in Sando's quarterback tiers, I think he was 14th or 15th. That seems a little rich to me, but not insane. You know, like,
yeah.
I mean, if he's the 17th or 18th best quarterback out there, that has value. You don't want to give those guys away. And in the meantime, Cleveland gave away Baker, who's not far off of that. I mean, like, every move they're making, they're kind of losing a little bit. You know, they're buying a dollar for $2 every time.
Yeah,
you know
every
what I
time.
Mean?
Yeah.
Right.
Yeah, that's just not good business.
No.
What do you make of the Tom Brady situation in Tampa Bay? He's got an excused absence through August 20th.
I didn't know anything about this.
It was absence for a personal issue. So August 20th is over a week away.
I said that's a long
that's
stretch
a long
to
time
be
to be away from
team.
Training camp. And I get it. He's Tom Brady. Doesn't necessarily, you know, need the practice
but
time.
But he's the biggest worker of everybody.
Right. He's the glue that holds that whole thing together. And now
you're not
going to have him for two preseason games.
And my immediate
practices?
Thought was he must have something very serious going on in his life. Does he have a child? Or
did he have a planned vacation that he couldn't get? Well, this was non-refundable vacation.
Right.
I was going
to Miami.
I was retired.
Right. I had this plan. Sorry. You know, I got a wedding to go to. I can't get out of it. Right. Yeah, I'll take this new job. But, you know, that second week after I'm there, I'm going to leave for a while. I have no clue. Doesn't seem like a Brady-like move. I mean, that's why initially I thought he must have something serious going on with his family. I hope not. But I don't know that.
Did you see
Dwayne Brown got signed by
the Jets?
Yeah,
by the Jets.
It makes perfect sense.
Todd Bowles said that Brady was dealing with a personal issue and asked if the absence had anything to do with the quarterback's health. And then their general manager, Jason Leaked, emphasized that the absence was pre-planned.
He had a ticket, he couldn't get out of. He had to go to pre-planned for a week, though. That doesn't happen.
Yeah, I mean, that's kind of
– I bet we'll know more about it tonight or tomorrow. But
at some point, something will come out. You know, those usually come out for the – you know, they'll save that for the news during the games. Like,
I mean, if it was 5 years ago and Ben left here for a week, we'd be like, what the heck's up with that?
What the heck's going on?
Right.
We'd be digging. We'd be trying to
– Yeah. Personal issues pretty vague.
Yeah, Dwayne Brown to the Jets, that doesn't surprise me.
No.
They lose Mekhi Becton, so not a bad fallback option there.
No. I mean, he's Seattle for a long stretch, Houston before that. I think he's a borderline Hall of Fame type dude, you know, behind like the Jason Peters of this generation. Still played pretty well. He didn't want a new offensive tackle situation with Wilson getting his feet under him, obviously, in his second year. But Becton got moved to right tackle. I assume Fant now will go back to right tackle.
Yeah, because you're not going to make the veteran learn a whole new position.
No, I'm sure he would not have accepted that at 38 years old or whatever, playing a new position.
That's although
like
the Steelers
Villanueva did that.
Yeah, the Steelers did that when they signed
Flozell
Adams.
Yeah, I don't know that Fant's done both.
Yeah.
I don't know. I mean, I would assume.
But Dwayne Brown's been a left tackle throughout
forever.
The course.
Forever.
Since, the game started, I think, when they were playing in leather helmets.
Right. But it is a good fallback plan for the Jets.
Absolutely. That Brady news is weird.
That is weird.
It's a strange one. Did you see James White retired?
Yeah. Really good career.
Yeah. I mean, very unsung, under the radar.
Right. And if you remember him coming out of Wisconsin, he wasn't a receiving back. They didn't throw the backs back then in Wisconsin.
Not at Wisconsin,
He kind of reinvented himself and became a Brady, Belichick favorite, had some big moments in postseason, Super Bowls. So, good for him. I mean, I don't mean this to be rude, but like 10 years from now, no one's going to talk about James White.
He's not going to go in the Hall of Fame or anything like that.
No, I mean, but a valuable contributor to a lot of good teams. And then they came out today, too, and said people have asked about Damian Harris, that they would consider trading him, or some report about that. I think Ramondre Stevenson's the better player, but Harris is a free agent at the end of the year, and they drafted two backs.
Yeah, so always interesting. And that's kind of the movement, the things that start to happen. Mm-hmm. Around this time of year, and especially once you get into the games and teams get to see young players emerge.
Yep.
And that's what we'll be looking for Saturday with the Steelers. Who emerges?
Yep. Last little nugget there. It looks like Josh Jacobs, Kareem Hunt, Ronald Jones, maybe even a couple other backs are available if interested. I don't think the Steelers are in that market at all.
I don't think so either.
Because I think they're good there now. Where if you told me that a while back, I would have said, I'd be interested, but not now.
Yeah, absolutely not. So we'll get to see all that come to fruition, see what happens, who steps forward Saturday night at Acrisure Stadium. Be there. Watch that game. A lot of stuff going on in downtown this weekend. Concerts and things of that nature. I think Billy Joel's playing tonight. I've heard that once or twice around
here. Yes.
Absolutely. But that's going to do it for our show today. So for my partner, Matt Williamson, for Zach back in studio keeping us on the air, Jacob keeping us on the air here, at St. Vincent College. I am Dale Lally. We thank you for listening to this edition of The Drive on Steelers Nation Radio and ESPN 970, your home of great Steelers coverage 24 hours a day.
Open a limited-time 11-month certificate at Kemba Financial Credit Union. At 5.25% APY, it's more than triple the national average, plus it's a safe and secure way to grow your money. Visit your local branch or kemba.org/cd for details. Offer expires May 31st, 2024. APY equals annual percentage yield. Restrictions apply. $500 minimum and $250,000 maximum deposit. Advantage status required. Comparison based on bank rate average. Federally insured by NCUA.
Tired of restless nights? At Leesa, we know good sleep is essential for mental, physical, and emotional health. From memory foam mattresses to hybrids that keep you cool all night long, Leesa's mattresses offer exceptional comfort and support with free delivery and 100 nights to try out your mattress in the comfort of your home. For a limited time, save up to $700 off select mattresses plus two free pillows. Go to leesa.com/iHeart for an additional $50 off mattresses and select goods. Exclusions apply. See leesa.com for more details.